So good to be with you. It's an honor to be here. This is my first time in Singapore, first time in Southeast Asia, and I head back home tomorrow. I've been here for 2 weeks now. We were in Indonesia for most of the time that I've been here, and it was actually through a dream that I had. I had a dream back in, August of last year. And in the dream, I was ministering in a conference with Pastor Bill Johnson, and I was talking about the parting of the waters in Genesis and connecting it to the parting of the waters with Elijah and Elisha when the mantle was passed. And so I had that dream, and I was like, I have no idea what this is about. This is, you know, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? 2 weeks later, the Lord gives me a word for Indonesia. 2 weeks later, a friend of mine from Indonesia contacts me, actually asks a mutual friend to get my information to contact me and says, hey, we're having a conference with Pastor Bill Johnson in Indonesia, and we'd like to invite you. And so it was the dream, and then the word, and then the invitation. And so I know that the Lord has me here on an assignment. How many of you love assignments? All right, about 40 of you, maybe right here, maybe 30 of you, I don't know. Assignments are so powerful because what you begin to realize is that there are different dimensions in how God will orchestrate breakthrough through your life. I'm probably going to share on some of that today, but I want to just kind of give you a little bit of just an introduction. As the bio read earlier, I've been doing ministry since I was around 16 years old. I'm now 49, and I was leading my dad's youth group back when I was about 16 or 17. A friend of mine and myself, we were leading the youth group, I had a very strange experience as I was ministering to the youth after I ministered the message. We prayed for each youth one by one. Actually, my friend prayed for them because I didn't have faith to pray for them. And so I said, my friend Gabriel is going to pray for you, and I'm just going to say amen at the end. And so as he prayed for them, all of a sudden, I began to see almost like a TV screen over their head. And I could see different things about their life. I could see different scenarios. I could describe one of them. I was describing their room. I could tell them what happened, things that were really affected them, things that weighed heavy on their heart. And I didn't know what prophetic was. I didn't know. You got to remember, back in 1996, I don't even know, did we have the internet back then? I'm not sure if we had the internet or not. We might have, but it was not what it is today. We didn't have all the access to prophetic training and all those different things. In fact, we had these things called cassette tapes. That was even before CDs. And some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Probably if you're, I don't know, under 40 years old, you may not even know what I'm talking about. But we would get like a cassette tape of the month from a ministry or whatever, and you listen to that, and then you pop it out of the player, turn it over, and listen to the second part of the message. And that's the way we learned back in the day. All right. And my kids make fun of me. They say, Dad, they had TVs when you were a child? Did they have cars? I mean, they're getting a little ridiculous now. It was interesting because when that happened to me prophetically, when I had that experience, I began to just hunger for the things of God. I just thought, man, Lord, I don't know what that's all about, but I want more of it. And I just began to pursue the Lord. And I remember one weekend, this would be a couple of years later, I was actually in Bible college, or I was a freshman in Bible college. So I graduate high school, 1997. I go into Bible college. Like I was set to go to a university. I was going to do sports medicine. I was in athletics all my life. I was always in sports and all of that. And so I was going to do sports medicine, physical therapy. I already went to my orientation at the university there in San Antonio, University of Texas. And so I was ready for 4 years of all this education stuff. And all of a sudden, just something in my heart, I was like, man, I don't know what this is. I called my dad and I said, Dad, is there a Bible college like, is that even a thing? Does that even exist? And he says, yeah, there's a Bible college here in San Antonio. I said, well, I think I'm supposed to go to that. I just felt it so strong. And so I did 4 years in Bible college, and I remember my freshman year, so I'm about 17, 18 years old. Freshman year, I got this study Bible, and I'm reading 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about, you know, like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? You know, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, working of miracles, all that. And I was like, oh, I'm reading them. And this study Bible had like notes where it's, you know, well, this is what prophecy is and word of knowledge and word of wisdom. And so I'm reading all this and I'm thinking, oh, I want that. I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. And so down the list, now I got to be honest with you, when it came to tongues, I was like, I don't know about that one. That's a little weird. Because the only experience that I had with tongues and interpretation is like during the worship, it would get to like a real slow, soft sound. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody in the church would bust out in this loud, crazy language and scare all of us. And they'd be like, you know, saying this crazy language. And then somebody would give an interpretation that almost always the interpretation was something like this. Yea, my people, I'm coming soon. Get your hearts right, says the Lord. That was scary. And so that was the only experience that I ever had with tongues and interpretation. So I was like, all the other ones, Lord, all the other seven, I'm good with. I don't know about those. And so I remember that weekend, I was just like, Lord, I'm hungry for this. I want this. And then that weekend, we had a prophetic evangelist who was a guest speaker. My dad, by the way, my dad's been pastoring in San Antonio for 40 years. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. I've spoken to thousands of people in the last 2 weeks, and I don't know who I've told what. We had this evangelist come through. And again, I had been praying that weekend. I was like, Lord, I want all this in 1 Corinthians 12. I want these gifts. I want all of that, Lord. Man, I'm hungry for it, right? And I didn't tell anybody. It's just what I was just between me and the Lord. Well, this prophetic evangelist comes to the church, and he calls me out. He says, Ryan, stand up. And then here's what he said. He says, the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, Ryan. You've been asking God for the gifts of the Spirit. And he begins to prophesy to me everything I'd just been praying that weekend. You know what was really cool? God gave him that word for me 2 weeks before I even started praying it. He had called my dad. He says, Robert, is your son Ryan going to be in the service? And my dad's like, oh, he probably should be. And he says, well, the Lord's given me a word for him 2 weeks before I even asked for those things. I love that, don't you? I love the way that you are on the Lord's mind and heart before you even bring your request or bring your prayer before him. Because he already knows you. He already knows your wiring and your desires and the way that you're designed. Amen? And so that was where, you know, things just began to kind of take off for me. You know, we came from a very legalistic background. We were very much like, law-based and legalism, old covenant kind of thing. And until we met a couple of prophets by the name of Bobby Connor and Bob Jones. And when we met them, they ruined our lives, okay? Ruined our theology, ruined our church, because after we met them, something just broke off my dad. Something just awakened. After we met them, we experienced 140-something days every single night of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean, miracles, signs, wonders, children encountering God. It was so powerful. And so 143 days that we met every single night. And guess what? At the end, we're all worn out. We're all tired. We had one worship team and about five of us doing all the ministry. Sometimes till 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. And so I was working at that time. We also had a school for children. So I was working at the school, and then we would do services all night, every night, and we just got worn out. And we knew that this was like the time for this was done. All right, we knew the Lord started this, but we were worn out. A couple of leaders just, you know, got into some problems and all of that stuff. And so I remember sitting there On the last day of this outpouring, I'm sitting there on the altar, on the platform, and we saw all kinds of things, and I'm thinking, Lord, what happened? This was a powerful outpouring of your spirit. What happened? I'm probably around 21 at the time. And the Lord says to me, Ryan, much of the church is not ready for what it's asking for. Asking for revival, asking for outpouring, asking for all. He says, and they're not prepared for that. He says, much of them are asking for things that'll destroy them if I were to release it. And what I understood then at that time is when the Lord began to speak to me about Ephesians chapter 4, how the fivefold is designed to equip the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry, not the fivefold do all the work of the ministry. And so that's where I began to train prophetic teams, healing teams, and intercession teams back in 1997. And the more that I trained people in what I was learning and what I was carrying, it just seemed like for me in my life, it just began to expand even more so. And so I have a very high love and high value for the presence, for revelation, and for encounters. Amen? How about you? Anybody here love the presence? How many know one encounter in the presence can save you 10 years of counseling? I'm not against counseling, okay? God uses counseling. But sometimes we don't need to get counseled out of something. We just need to experience the presence that sets us free. All right? I was sharing in the first service. I've got 18 minutes here, so let me get into my message here. All right? I was sharing in the first service how the Lord had been speaking to me about Cornerstone. And there's a lot of things God's been talking to me about Southeast Asia. Just to let you know, I knew nothing and I knew nobody from Southeast Asia back in 2020. All right, 2020, the Lord starts to talk to me about how Southeast Asia is on his timetable. And I began to rejoice with the Lord. He was rejoicing over this region. And this was during, you know, quarantine, and I had a lot of time on my hands, all right? And I was just seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden, I just began to become very aware that God was rejoicing over your region. I couldn't tell you the nations, Indonesia or whatever, Singapore, I couldn't tell you where those were on a map, okay? But God began to minister to me about this region, and he began to share with me his heart for this region, and he said to me that this region was next on the timetable of God. Now, that should be good news to us. And I want you to know that you know, this whole Southeast Asia area, that God has not forgotten this area. And he said to me that there would be a discipleship movement that would spread across this region. And it's not a discipleship movement of just producing people with good morals. It's producing people that operate in the Spirit, that know how to operate in and from the throne room of God, that know how to shift the visible from the invisible, know how to govern the natural from the spiritual. That's what God is raising up here. How many know that's a true disciple? A true disciple is not just that, you know, and please don't get me wrong. Yes, we need character. Yes, we need good morals. All of that, that's important. But how many of you know morals without power is not going to change society? So we need it all. Let's just say it that way. We need it all. True discipleship is making people like the master. So he had been talking to me for the last few years about this region. And I personally didn't know. I was completely ignorant about Singapore, what Singapore was or where it was or whatever. And when we landed here, as soon as we landed, the first thing that hits me, the first thing that the Lord says to me, the city of the future. City of the future. Now, I know you're like an island city, state, nation, you're like all the above, all right? There's A, B, C, D. D is all the above. That's you. I get it. And so that's pretty cool, actually. And I hear city of the future, right? Like city of tomorrow, that kind of phrase. And then I hear peace. Peace. And I was like, man, well, what's with that, Lord? A couple of things. Number one, Singapore is an agent of peace in the nations, is what the Lord began to minister to me. Do you know that in the Hebrew, the word for peace is shalom? And that word shalom doesn't just mean tranquility or peace the way we would think. It actually means, that if you dig deeper into the word shalom, it means the spirit that destroys chaos. The spirit that destroys chaos. I believe the spirit that's on Singapore is a spirit of innovation and the spirit of peace, because it's the God of peace who crushes Satan under your feet. I believe that this island city, state, nation is designed to be part of the peace of God that will broker deals of peace between nations, that will export the, because remember Isaiah said of the increase of his what? Government and peace. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. One of the fruits of true kingdom lifestyle is peace manifests. And peace destroys chaos. And so he began to speak to me about that, about peace in the sense of how this region is going to broker peace between nations and between economies. I was just seeing all these things in the spirit. But also, there is the potential. Here's what the Lord said to me, that there is the potential over Singapore to be like the glory years of King Solomon. Do you know, and I was looking this up a minute ago. I was like, what does Solomon's name mean? Peace. His name means peace. And in the golden era of Solomon's reign, of the kingdom under Solomon, do you realize that before Solomon, you had 40 years of David, and before that, you had 40 years of Saul, 80 years that Israel had been at war with the other nations. And the Bible says that for Solomon's 40 years, he did not see a single day of war. And it says that there was abundance. It says that silver was so abundant, they didn't even count it. It was like rocks. And it says that the nations that they were at war with before, now they're in trade with, peace with. And Solomon was redefining cities that had been destroyed, that had been uninhabitable. Now all of a sudden he is redefining them and he's giving purpose to cities. This is part of the calling of Singapore. That you will redefine cities and nations that will say, remember all these leaders, like the Queen of Sheba, all these nations and leaders were coming to Solomon to say, how did you do this? How did you build this? I heard of the greatness I hadn't even seen. Once I saw it, I thought, oh my goodness. Like Queen Sheba, she says, I heard of the greatness, and I thought, there's no way it could be possible. But now that I've seen it, she says, I didn't even hear the half of what's here. So there was prosperity, there was peace, there was protection, all these different things. And so this is one of this was some of the things that the Lord had been ministering to me about your region. And when I asked the Lord in the Spirit, I said, Lord, this morning, I was like, Lord, show me in the Spirit who Cornerstone is. Show me in the Spirit, Lord, show me. And what I saw, the Lord said to me, and I asked the first service this, how many of you know what the spirit of breakthrough is? Breaker anointing, right? The Lord said to me that Cornerstone is my breaker. Cornerstone is my breaker. And I'm just going to share this part, and then I'm going to get into my message here, all right? So there are places where water it's so cold that it becomes ice, right? Like Antarctica, North Pole, all these different, and South Pole. And there are these places where normal boats cannot go through because the water is frozen. And there are these boats that are called, these ships that are called icebreakers. And they send those ships to the areas that no other boats can pass through. And so those icebreakers begin to go in front and they begin to break the ice. They are breakers. But they're not only breaking for themselves, they're breaking a path open for others to begin to follow through. And I began to see that Cornerstone is not just a church, it's a movement. And it is a breaker movement, that what you are breaking through, what you are operating in, will be a model for other churches and movements to begin to follow. You're a pioneer, if you will. Does that make sense? All right, I got three people to make sense to over here. The rest of us, listen, I get it, man. Listen, I wanted to fall asleep right there in that seat because I thought, oh, this is so comfortable. It's way too comfortable. I don't like it. All right, so let me share with you. I shared some things in the first service that I'm not going to share here. I'm going to share the rest of the story, okay? So I don't know if the first one was recorded, if there's a way to access that. But that dream that I shared with you, the breaking of the waters, or the parting of the waters in Genesis to the parting of the waters with the Jordan between Elijah and Elisha, I had been asking the Lord for several months, what is that about? And so all of a sudden, I'd say maybe 3-4 months ago, the Lord began to give me clarity. And here's what I began to find in Scripture. There are only 4 times in Scripture where waters were parted. Only 4 times where waters were parted. Genesis 1, the parting of the waters by the voice of God. Exodus 3, which is the parting of the Red Sea. Actually, Exodus 14, I apologize. Exodus 14, the parting of the Red Sea when they're coming out of Egypt. And that was through the staff of Moses. And then when they're going to go into the promised land through Joshua, and that was Joshua 3, it says that the Jordan parted when the feet of the priest touched the waters. And then the 4th time that the waters parted, again, was the Jordan, and it's when the mantle was passed from Elijah to Elisha. 4 times that a spirit of breakthrough operated to break open what was standing in the way. You can see, you can think of those waters as the waters of impossibility, the waters that are in the way. For example, in Genesis 1, what we have present is chaos, and there's no land that's present. It's all waters. And so God's voice, say voice, God's voice is released to part the waters so that order can come from chaos. Are you with me? So 4 different times that waters were parted, and they were parted in 4 different ways. The waters of impossibility parted 4 different times through 4 different means. And one of the reasons why we sometimes don't see breakthrough in our life is because we are used to only 1 dimension of breakthrough, and God is inviting us into 1 of the other 3. God, I've been speaking to it for years, and it's just not working. If something's not happening, then it might be because the Lord is inviting you into a different dimension. See, these are 4 dimensions of breakthrough. 4 different ways of the waters being broken through. Are you with me? We all right? So what are the 4 ways? Well, the first one is the voice that shifts chaos into order. He speaks and it shifts things. See, now, I think this is one that we probably are more familiar with because there's been a lot of emphasis lately over the last several years on decreeing and how we're not simply praying to God for him to do something, but we're actually participating with him to speak into the earth and see it be established. How many know that models of intercession are changing as we're understanding our identity more and more? And we're understanding the authority of our identity more and more. Amen? And so we have understood, declarations and decrees, and that's powerful. But there are times where it's like we've been doing that, and nothing's happening. Well, what's the next thing that we see? We see Moses' staff. And so Moses is standing in front of the Red Sea. The people want to kill him. They're like, why did you bring us out here? So we could die here instead of in Egypt. And so what does the Lord tell Moses to do? He says, Moses, and Moses is like, Lord, they're going to kill me. What do we do? He says, Moses, what's in your hand? Staff. What's the staff represent? His calling. You could say calling. You could even say purpose. And the Lord says, you, Moses, extend the staff over the waters and you part the waters. See, there are times that you don't need to speak to the waters of impossibility. You need to operate in your calling. You need to step into your purpose. And it's in your calling and in your purpose that the things that have been resistant begin to break away, because when the Lord said that is you're coming out of Egypt, see, they were trying to get out of whatever had been holding them back. And sometimes we're trying to, oh man, Lord, I'm just breaking that thing that keeps holding me back. No, no. Stop trying to break that thing and step into who you are, like your calling, your purpose. Step in. What has God called me to? What has God given to me as a purpose? And you step into that dimension, and all of a sudden, what tried to hold you back can't hold you back anymore. It has to open up. The third phase of breakthrough is when they're at the Jordan, and the priests are standing there with the Ark of the Presence. You remember this? And the Bible says that, in this is in Joshua 3, that they were told to step forward. Now, the Bible says that the waters of the Jordan were overflowing. It was flood season. And it was overflowing the banks. So it is a strong river at this point. It's the type that if you were to try to walk across it, you're going to be taken down by the river. And so Imagine if you're like the first priest, right? There's like three priests or whatever holding the ark. Imagine if you're the first one and you just see this raging river in front of you. And you're like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And then here's Joshua. Joshua says, step forward. And you're probably like, you take my place. You step forward. What do you see this water? This is crazy. We're going to die, right? And what happens? You know, I'm thinking, man, I probably would have been like, does anybody have Moses' staff? Let's try that. It worked 40 years ago. Let's see if it works this time. How many of you know Moses' staff wouldn't work this time? Work before. Don't make a monument out of what God did in the past. You know, don't make that, well, we just stay on there. That's it. And imagine if they would have said, well, no, we're going to speak to the water. Waters part in the name of, you know, Jehovah. Oh, waters open up, and it's not working. See, there are times where it's not going to be the voice. It's not going to be the staff that's in your hand. It's going to be who you are. Because when their foot touched the water recognized their identity. It recognized their identity. And when the waters recognize their identity, they recognize they have a mission to go into the next phase of the purposes of God. Or I should say the inheritance of God. Because what was that promised land? It was inheritance. It was promises. See, there are times where you're thinking, oh man, I know that I'm not experiencing the fullness of promises and inheritance right now. There's so many things right now in my life that I'm not seeing operate based on what God has spoken over me, right? Those promises, things I see in scripture that are part of my inheritance. And I'm not seeing that happen right now. And I've been speaking to it, but nothing's happening. I've been trying to say, God, well, maybe it's my calling. No, there are times where the waters will not part until you just decide to show up. You just got to show up. I need 30 confirmations, 5 angelic visitations, and an open vision, God. No. Show up, and you will see the impossibilities part because of who you are. Not just the voice that you carry, not just the calling that you have, not just the anointing in your hand, but simply who you are in God. Waters will respond. The last one, I got a minute and 30. I'm doing all right. The last one is 2 Kings chapter 2, and this is where Elijah passes the mantle to Elisha. And so they come up to the Jordan, and Elijah the prophet takes his mantle, and he strikes the waters, and the waters part. And then he steps across, him and Elisha step across, and this is where he is taken up in the spirit, right? Actually, well, in the natural. He's taken up. And Elisha had asked for what? A double portion. And then it says that as Elijah went up, something came back down. His mantle. The mantle that he carried came back down. And so Elisha picks up that mantle and he goes back to the river and he says, where is the God of Elijah? And he strikes the waters and the waters respond to him the way they did to Elijah. Do you know why? It wasn't so much about Elijah or Elisha that the river was responding to. It was responding to the mantle. Mantles in the spirit represent assignments. It's the assignment that you're carrying. And some of us, we might know our identity, we might even know our calling, but the assignment has shifted in this season of our life, and we need to find out, where is my assignment taking me now? Maybe my assignment has been in business. I built a strong business, and it's been great, and that's awesome, and I love it. Okay, great, God. And I'm just like, man, but I'm not feeling. There's just something not working here. There's a resistance, and I don't know how to break through that. And I've tried speaking to it, and I've tried this, and I've tried that. Well, maybe your assignment is changing. Maybe you're going from being a king in business to being a father to others so they learn how to start businesses. Maybe your assignment is shifting, and that's where you'll see the waters of breakthrough. Does that make sense? All right, I'm out of time. Let's stand together. Did this help? My heart is that we will discover, listen, I want you to see what's in your voice, what's in your hand, what's in you, and what's on you, your assignment, your mantle. And you know what I love about that picture there? I'm going to just pray over this. The picture that I see there with that mantle coming down. Remember, Jesus said, greater works you will do. And he makes a promise that the Holy Spirit, he says, when I leave, he says, the Holy Spirit will be sent and Holy Spirit will be in you. And I would submit to you that one layer of prophetic interpretation of that story with Elijah and Elisha, one small layer, is that just like when Elijah ascended, that what he carried returned to the earth, but in greater measure. It rested on Elisha in a double portion. In the same way, as Jesus ascended, the mantle of the Holy Spirit that rested on his life returned to the earth, to you and I. Rests on you and in you. And I declare to you in the name of Jesus that you are God's breakers and that you are learning and to operate in the breaker anointing in the multiple ways, the multiple dimensions of how breakthrough can manifest in the earth today, that you will experience breakthrough in your life, your family, your finances, your ideas, your business, your whatever it is that God has put in your hands. I declare that Cornerstone is a breaker for this region, that there are things breaking open in this atmosphere, that you are pioneering, that you are the icebreaker for the kingdom of God to manifest in this region. I declare to you that this is the time to arise and to shine, for your light has come, that you will not be the victims of society. You will be the light of society. You will not be a statistic. You will be a strategy and a solution of heaven. And so I prophesy to you today that Holy Spirit is awakening us to know how to operate in the spirit of breakthrough, how to operate in what dimension of breakthrough is in the season that I'm in right now. And so I declare discernment over your life, that you will recognize it, operate in it, and model it for others, because your breakthrough becomes the breakthrough for a generation. Your breakthrough becomes a breakthrough for your children. Your breakthrough becomes a breakthrough for other businesses, because what you do in this life, in this church, in your family, but in your business, what you do all of a sudden breaks a way open for others to follow through. And so I bless you in the name of Jesus. I declare that the Holy Spirit is upon you in power and in life and in hope and in joy, and that what you do is a movement that affects the nations all around you and beyond, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.